All right, get your Bibles out tonight. Isaiah chapter 52.
Not sure if you're aware of this, but surprisingly, bad news sells better than good news. That's why when you turn on the news, they report bad news. They tell you all the things that are wrong. They didn't tell you about the fireman that rescued the kitten out of the tree. They don't tell you about the many people that rang the bell that they are cancer-free. They tell you about abductions and murders and all of these awful things. It helps develop or strike fear. It does. It creates a demand. You have to stay tuned to find out what's going on. And it causes you to react. But I'm here to tell you tonight. Oh, did you notice our new banner? Isn't that nice? So happy. So bright. I want to put a little sticky tack on either side to just kind of pin it down a little bit. But other than that, I'm glad you... I know many of you are here tonight just to see the banner. So I'm glad you've decided to come. I'm here to tell you that there is actually some good news. Isaiah chapter 52... Isaiah chapter 52. I don't know if your guy got in today or not or whatever. If your guy got voted out, whatever. It's amazing. Without getting too political, there are some very disappointed people today. Say, how so? Some people thought a war was going to start today. And I'm sorry to tell you, it did not. We did not have to barricade ourselves into our homes. Do you remember when Barack Obama was elected president? Remember that? And we were warned, we were told that the United States was going to be turned over to a Muslim state within hours. Sharia law was going to take over for the Constitution. And we are thankful that did not happen. Sometimes on either end of the spectrum, we can lose our minds. Let's make sure that we stay true to what is real. Certainly some executive orders that got signed today I'm not 100% in love with, but we do have good news. We're going to transition from all of that to Isaiah chapter 52. Look at this beautiful verse. Isaiah 52:7 says this: "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of them, or are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth." Man, there's some good news that we find in Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7. And that good news should be published all throughout the land. From coast to coast, wherever we are, this is some information that should be shared. Let's first look at number one, some good tidings. When I hear the word tidings, I think Christmas. I don't know. Just the word tidings, I bring you good tidings of great peace, which will be through all, you know. And the word tidings, I asked Pastor Sheetman, he was in my office. I said, do you know what tidings means? He says, news, information. I said, yes, it's all that. But there's something special about the word tidings. Like if you were to... watch the news for weather, you're pretty much aware that tomorrow it's going to snow. We live in a winter time, and it does that. But tidings is information that was not known before. Not known before. So it's new news to you. And, you know, there's a, as I look at this passage, it says, I bring good tidings. And then it says, bringeth good tidings of good. Hey, there's some news out there that some people don't actually know, that it would be surprising to them. Equipped with the message of hope is the Christian. Equipped with the answer is the Christian that knows and walks with the Lord. There are some fretful people walk in these streets these days. But praise the Lord, we have some good news. What is that? Oh, we're going to look at it. I love these verses. Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 25. I'll just read it to you. As cold waters to a thirsty soul, so is good news from a far country. James 1:17 says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Do you recognize, I was thinking about this the other day, I was thinking about prayer, and I was thinking about, we just live in a sinful world. We live in a place that has been cursed by sin. Where everything that this world was designed for, it has failed. All because of sin. And if you think about that and you fix your mind on that, you're going to be depressed. But can I tell you, as I look around, I see some good things. I see God working. I know that James 1:17, every good gift and every perfect gift. Hey, if I have anything good in my life, in the midst of a broken and cursed world affected by sin, hey, there's some good things that show up in my life. I just take it as God's grace. God's gracious. If there is any good thing that's in your life, can I tell you this? It's an acknowledgement that God has been gracious to us. Every good gift. There's some good news. There is some good news. And we're going to talk about that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We'll look at some of these verses. This is one of our memory verses. There hath no temptation taken you, right? But such as is common to man. Listen to these next words. Here's some good news. But God is faithful. Oh, I don't know what's going to... Did you see the size of the wall that was... Do you know how many troops were down at the camp? Do you know what's going to... Do you know what's happening? God is faithful. Oh, praise the Lord. This afternoon, I did this on Sunday, I think it was. And this afternoon, I was sitting down and I had a little cup of tea next to me, a peach green tea. A little touch of honey in there. There I was sitting in our wood stove room. Hear the wind howling outside, but in the wood stove room, you wouldn't know. There I was sitting in a comfy chair, and I made an announcement. I am going to be closing my eyes for 15 minutes. Kids were there. I can block them out. I have parental hearing. I can tune people out. I can sleep through a storm. And in the midst of all of this craziness going around, I could just find some comfort. Hey, do you understand that in the midst of all this craziness spinning around us, we can just find some comfort knowing this? God is faithful. God is faithful. Not only is God faithful, look at 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. God is forgiving. If we confess our sins, He is faithful, like we just read, and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's some good news out there. Number one, God is faithful. Number two, God is forgiving. God makes a way for you and I to make right with Him. And just like we looked at in Isaiah chapter 52, there's some people that just don't know that. That would be good tidings to them. We're going to look at the end what we're supposed to do with this information. But I encourage you here tonight. Do not fret. Do not have fear. Do not worry. God is faithful. God forgives. Look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. In verse 9 it says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Is that true? It is true. God's grace is real. God is faithful, God is forgiving, and God's grace is real. That's good news. That would be like cool waters to a thirsty soul if someone didn't know that. How about this? Ephesians chapter 5. See, I just got to 2 Corinthians. I'm sorry. We've been working on sword drills. We just got good at it. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 2. Ephesians 5, 2 says, "And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor." Number one, God is faithful. Number two, God forgives. Number three, God's grace is real. Number four, listen now, God loves you. There's a lot of people that don't know that. There's a lot of people that are hanging their head and hiding behind their doors and worried about what the next step is. It's because they've never experienced God's love. They've never tasted of that gift of grace. They've never experienced forgiveness of sin. They don't know that God is faithful. Hey, Christian, can I encourage you here tonight? All of those things are real. As we go back to Isaiah chapter 52, I'll read you the passage. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publish peace." If there was one thing that this world desires more than anything else, it would be peace. Just make the fighting stop. Sounds like me at my house. Would you guys just leave each other alone? Just stop touching each other. But man peace is but a shadow to what we really need. Peace with God. Look at Romans chapter 5. Do you know that there's a way to be able to make peace with God? The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, "Therefore being justified by faith," that means my sins have been cleansed. How? By putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. Look at what happens. We have peace with God. Peace with God. We know that as we study the scriptures, our sin puts us at enmity, at odds with God. And the only thing that can satisfy a holy, righteous God is His Son, Jesus Christ. And our faith in Christ, His righteousness gets credited to our account, and we credit Christ with our sin. I don't know how that all, God just works it out perfectly. And He gives us something, peace with God. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Some people think they're going to have to wait till heaven before they can make peace with their Creator. Oh no, you do that now. You do that right here. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works," look at now, "yet now hath He reconciled." God made a way for an enemy, a stranger, to be what? A friend and a son. To be able to make peace with God. But He doesn't just stop there. He not only allows us to make peace with Him that we've offended, but He also gives us peace. Now I can walk around each and every day with the peace of God. Philippians chapter 4. I'm here to tell you tonight, there is some good news. There's a bunch of Christians hanging their head thinking the world's coming to an end, which it may be, and if it does, I'm just here to tell you we win. If the best thing that could happen is that Christ comes back, well, calls us to Him. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 7. "But until then, know this, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." What happens? Why do people get so doubtful, so squirrely in their head? They don't have the peace of God. They're trying to fix this world by themselves. No. Hey, publish this. that peace is available. Hey, take out the an article in the paper. Mrs. Naparella notified us that she still gets the paper. Front page of the paper, peace. You can have peace with God, and you can have the peace of God. John chapter 14, look at some of these other verses. John chapter 14 and verse 27. Peace I leave with you, he says. My peace I give unto you. Not only do we have the ability to make peace with a holy God, he also gives us his peace. He says, I'm going to leave that with you. Sometimes we have people come over to the house and we'll make the meal and they'll say, what can we bring? Oh, I don't know. Why don't you bring a dessert? And depending on how things go, not all the dessert gets eaten. And they say, I'm just going to leave this here for you guys. Ho, ho, ho. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. That was delicious. And I'm going to get more of it. That's what God says. You know what I'm just going to do? I'm just going to leave my peace here with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I think those are comforting words for these days. I think that's some good news. I think that news should be published. Look at John chapter 16 and verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world, listen now, no surprise. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have some good news. I have overcome the world. He says, listen, at the end, you understand I win. The good guys win. And we're on that side. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. One more verse about this. I don't know about you, but it is good to be a child of God. There is some good news about that. God is faithful. God forgives. God's grace is real. And he loves you. And he's made a way to be able to make right and peace with him. And in exchange, he gives you his peace. So at night, you can pillow your head knowing this. God is in control. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 16. Now the Lord of peace himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all. I don't know why or how it came to be, but there's a local meat market right here in Hilton, and they said something a few weeks back, and they said, if the Bills win a playoff game, we're going to give away 100 pounds of sausage. Great. 101-pound bags of sausage. You just got to go in and say, I would like a pound of sausage. And they say, sure, here you go. Do you have to buy anything? No, you don't have to buy anything. And they did that. I went and I got a pound of sausage last week. And today they gave another pound away because the Bills won again. Say, who are they? They're butchers. That's what they have. You go into the meat case and there's ribeye steaks. There's pork shoulders. Now, are you running an ad for? No, I'm not running an ad. I'm just telling you, this is what they have to give. Say, why are you saying that? Now, the Lord of peace, what do you think he has at his disposal? Peace. The Lord of peace gives peace by all means. Praise the Lord. That's good news. There's some people that are scratching their head, pulling their hair out, putting on sackcloth and ashes, two clips in the gun and ready to end it all. Hold on. Wait a second here. There's some good news. God's still God. He's still in charge. He still knows what's going on. And he can take all your fears as we just read in John chapter 14. And he says, don't be afraid. Isaiah chapter 52, it says this in verse 7. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good. Look at this next thing, that publisheth salvation. Isn't it good to know that salvation's available for anybody that comes? Today, Pastor Seatman was person number 100 over at Petenary's Meat Market. You know what that means? He got a free pound of sausage. You know what that means? The person behind him did not. Wouldn't that be sad? Drove all the way to Petenary's trying to find this place. Where's even Hilton? Does anyone even know? It's on the outside of Hilton. In between Hilton and Ham. There you are. You're wandering around. You're over at the Dakota Grill. You have no idea what's going on. And then you pull in. I'm sorry, we're out. Oh, that's not salvation. No, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. God's grace just done run out. Well, the blood's dried up. No, the blood's still flowing. Publisheth salvation. There's some good news out there. God still saves. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. God, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's the second half of the verse, I know. 1 Timothy chapter 2, look here. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 4, look at this. 1 Timothy 2:4. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. What are we talking about here tonight? Verse 3. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 3. Some good news. God says, for this is good and acceptable. What is that? Verse 4. Who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. It is January 20th, 2021. And God is still able to save anybody who comes to Him. What's going to happen with their property taxes? What's going to happen with the cost of milk and gasoline? That is but a fraction of a problem compared to a man's eternal soul. Salvation. How about we publish salvation? There's good news out there. God is able to save you from your sin, rescue you from the consequences, the eternal consequences of sin. That's good news to me. Lastly, how about this? As we looked at Isaiah 52:7, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. Not only is there good tidings and good news, not only is there peace available, not only is salvation available, but listen to this, God still reigns. Look at Psalm chapter 10. If there was a message that needed to be proclaimed today, it's this. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 16. It says in Psalm 10:16, the Lord is King forever and ever. How long is that? Is that like 2 4-year terms? Is that like forever and forever? No, that's forever. The heathen are perished out of his land. Look at Psalm 145. Look at Psalm 145. Hey, Christian, our God reigns tonight and tomorrow night and every night hereafter. Right. And he always has. Psalm 145 and verse 13. Psalm 145 and verse 13. Thy kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and thy dominion endureth throughout all generations. Look at Psalm chapter 92. Psalm 92. Just a few more verses here tonight. Psalm 92 and verse 8. Psalm 92 and verse 8 says, but thou, Lord, art most high. forevermore. So when I read Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7, and it says, our God reigneth. And then I come over here and I read Psalm 92 and verse 8. It says, thou art most high forever. What do I have to worry about? That's good news. 1 Timothy chapter 1. This is great news. We just jump from good news to great news. Say, you can't do that. All right, okay. This is more good news. 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 17. Now unto the king. Look at this. Now unto the king, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Once again, he says, I mean, there's still three verses left in the chapter. And he says, let's just stop and think about that for a moment. Let's just park there for a second. Let that sink in. Our God reigneth. What am I supposed to do with this information? In Isaiah chapter 52 and verse 7, it said this, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings. We ought to find the highest peak that we can and proclaim it to everybody. It's a place for all to see. There's nothing to hide. It just makes me think of Matthew chapter 5. And this will be our last verse. Matthew chapter 5. What am I supposed to do with this good news? The Bible says publish it. But it also says this. It says take that information, go up to the mountain, and proclaim it. Why? Because that's why this thing is elevated. It's not because I'm 5'6.5". It's so no matter where you're at, so Brother Kyle be sitting in the back can see me. It elevates. It lifts up. Why? Because we're not trying to hide anything. God says, hey, there's some news everybody ought to know. Find the highest peak, find the highest place, and shout it as loud as you possibly can. Matthew chapter 5, verse 14. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. You can't hide that. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Show them. Speak it. Shout it. Every time you run, I'm talking about running into Christians. Every time you run into Christians, oh, this is it. This is the end. Hey, let me tell you about something. Let me tell you that God is faithful. Let me tell you that He loves you, that His grace is for real, that He forgives you. Remember the peace. Remember that He's in charge. And we're going to take that information, and He's able to save all those that can come unto Him. Our God reigns tonight. I'm encouraged by that. That's some good news. I guarantee tonight, Don Elhart is not going to be telling you this. Scott Hetzko is not going to be, all right, here's what we got. We got this, and you know how animated he is. He's like a sportscaster doing weather. All right, we're going to come over here, and oh, look at this. God still saves. You're not going to hear that on Channel 13. Not going to hear it on 8, not even on Fox. No, just open up the Word of God and read the good news. Way too many Christians are defeated. I'm telling you, it's because they're not in their Bible. They forgot who God was. They forgot truths that don't move regardless of who's in office. I hope you'd pray for your president. I hope you pray for your local law enforcement. I hope you'd pray for your supervisor and the mayor of Rochester and the governor of the great state of New York in which you have chosen to live in. I hope that you would acknowledge and in your heart, but in your life also, that God brings some good news to us. Stuff that the world could never, ever take away. Let's all stand. Shame on us for getting that. It's good to be his child. It's good to have peace that passes all understanding. We ought to speak of these things. Share it with others. Tell everybody. No need, no purpose in keeping it to yourself. Heavenly Father, we thank you for tonight. Thank you for who you are. Thank you that you never give up on us and that you, as we said tonight, as we sang the words, that you'll never forsake us. Lord, I'm thankful for that. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your love, for your grace, for your peace. Lord, help us to walk as light. Help us to spread the good news of the gospel, the good news of who you are to those that have never heard. Lord, help us to be faithful witnesses. God, I pray that you watch over us, protect us as we travel home. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, church. Love you. Have a good night. Drive carefully. Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 10. That I may know Him and the power of His resurrection. Philippians 3:10. And the fellowship of His suffering. Hey, Paul, what's important? That you know Christ. That your root system is in Christ. Look at Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10. Just a few verses. Familiar verse. Look at this. Verse 27, and he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Hey, what's most important in your life? Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. A commitment to God. But secondly, a commitment to others. The danger of selfish Christianity is, I would say, knocking at our doors, but it is sitting in our laps. How does this benefit me? What do I get out of this? Expect to see a return. I'm putting $5 in the offering. That's our approach. What do you got for my kids? Selfish Christianity. Where's your commitment to others? Where's the grace and the love and the forgiveness and the towards others? We need one another. By ourselves, we're shallow. I don't mean to say that demeaningly, but we are. We have shallow roots, but man, when we take our roots and we interlock it with somebody else's, that's called accountability. And I'll help you stand. Colossians chapter 2. Smiles across the room. Colossians chapter 2 and verse 7. Colossians 2:7 says, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. With one another, as ye have been taught, rooted and built up in Him. How important our relationship in Christ is. It is our root system. It will be our strength. But the soil in which it grows, rooted and grounded in love. The love of God, understanding that. That is the soil by which our roots grow. So I ask that you this. Commit to making the Lord the top priority in your life. Participate in church. Focus on the fundamentals. I know you hear it often, but prayer and Bible reading. Not yielding to temptation. Loving others. And be open and honest to the Holy Spirit as He leads and speaks to you. Because we don't want to just be covering up a problem that's in our life. Because if we're not rooted and grounded when the storms of life come, we will fall down. There's a tendency sometimes when things aren't right in our own life that we just come, we fulfill maybe an obligation of church and quick get out as quick as possible. Not interconnecting with one another. Why? Well, just kind of want to be left alone. You understand the danger of that too. I know it's hard right now, and I know it's our community and society is kind of really pushing that we stay away from one another, but you understand there's a connection between Christians under the unity and the power of the Word of God as we grow and help one another that far exceeds what the world is trying to pull us apart from. This last year has been strenuous on all relationships. But possibly the most detrimental has been a relationship in the Lord. Our roots have been attacked. So, let's get rooted and grounded in Christ. Let's all stand. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, say, well, you keep saying that. What does that mean? Would you allow someone to show you from the Scriptures what it means to be a Christian, not a member of Walker Bible Baptist Church? Say, do I have to get baptized? You don't have to get baptized. What does it mean to have your sins forgiven? I'll just ask you a question. I asked a guy on the phone this question just Friday, and he hung up on me. You would think if his good credit card percent that he wanted to pass on to me, 0%, was that important, he would have at least answered my question. But I'll ask you really honest, serious. If you were to die today, where would you spend eternity? I know it's a sobering thought, but it is. It is possible. If you were to die today, where would you go? Say, well, I'd like to think I'd go to heaven. You know, I've done a lot of good things. I've tried to help as many people out. Do you understand? Our works cannot earn salvation. It's faith. And if you're not sure or you don't know, would you talk to someone? Would you pull someone aside and say, hey, I need more information on that. Come talk to me. Say, you're scary. And talk to someone that's not scary. I could point you in a lot of different directions. If you're here this morning and you felt the tug at your relationship with the Lord, maybe it's through society, maybe it's through personal decisions, whatever it is, and in your heart you can acknowledge, yes, I need to get deeper rooted and grounded in Christ. In a moment, we're going to have a time of invitation. I invite you to come. Talk to the Lord. Again, I'm going to ask you frequently that you be honest. Not for my sake, but for yours. We had a real big mess in our yard for a long period of time because there was something underneath the surface that we didn't see. In your relationship with the Lord, is there something underneath the surface? Oh, you can make the outside look all good. But in your heart, say, if I go forward, people are going to... We got to get past that. We got to worry about what does God know? What does God think? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. Lord, I pray that if you spoke to hearts here this morning, God, as the music begins to play, I pray that you would bless this time of invitation now, that we would just be open and honest, us and thee. Lord, help us to get rooted and grounded in you. Help us to interlock with one another, to strengthen the church, be an encouragement to one another. Lord, we need you. I truly believe this. We need you more than ever before. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?